We're so concerned with all the stuff that we have, aren't we? I mean, today, just so you know, we're going to talk about giving your finances to the local church. So, if you're new here today, you're welcome. Sorry, this is the day. We talk about this, and what I mean is I talk about giving your finances to the local church one sermon a year. One sermon a year. We talk about it before the giving sometimes. We'll talk about it at different little parts of the year. And we talk about it in our membership Come Fly With Me conversation. We talk about it throughout the year in different ways. But on Sunday, I talk about it one time. So, if you are new here, I want you to just hang with us. I want you to hear why we give to the local church. And then maybe at the end of this thing, if you hang with me, and you're not interested in doing that, hopefully you'll be challenged to give to something that really, really matters. Because giving your money to the local church means you're giving to something that really, truly matters more than anything else you could give to. A lot of us have storage, don't we? My wife and I moved and we put all of our stuff into this storage compartment. The pods, right? So a lot of you have storage units. A lot of you have stuff in your basement. You have boxes. A lot of us have a lot of storage. Do you know that our country spends $22 billion a year on storage stuff? And that means that there's 2.2 billion square feet full of all of our crap. That's true. We spend a lot of money on stuff that ends up in storage. We spend a lot of money on stuff that doesn't really matter. We are investing in stuff that we'll forget about in a matter of years. Do you know that when my wife and I, we moved and we were living with her folks for a while we were figuring out the new house, we put our stuff in storage. A couple months later, we opened that stinking thing up and we forgot about half the stuff we had. Because we forget about it. Because it's like if it's out of sight, it's out of mind, and then it doesn't really matter. And we are all of us, every one of us in here, are investing every week in stuff that doesn't matter. Some stuff that we invest in, it kind of matters, but we're all spending our money all the time. And I just think that if you decided to tell your money where to go, as opposed to letting stuff in like kind of the desire of the day determine where your money goes, I think that you will find that the investment you could make in the local church is going to, in the end, mean a whole lot more than the stuff you buy tomorrow that ends up in storage or that ends up going away. Jesus told us to put things in storage. He just told us to think about storage in a different way. So storage isn't necessarily a bad thing. It just depends on what you think of when you think about storage. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus talks about storage. He talks about us spending our money on stuff. And he tells us not to store it all up in the things that are around us and on earth. He gives us this kind of this sermon. It's his first sermon, and it's about the kingdom of God. And what Jesus is going to do in this sermon is he's going to challenge you and me, especially Christ followers or those that really want to be a part of what God is doing on earth. He's going to challenge us what we do with our money, not just what we do and what ends up in storage, like disposable, incidental things that we don't really need, but even the things that we treasure the most, he is going to tell us what to do with our money. And he says this, and this is super, super cool, and you should read all of Matthew 5 and all of Matthew 6, and you can kind of get the whole picture. But here, Jesus is going to talk to us about giving. He's going to talk about giving our time, our treasures, and our talent. But what I'm going to do today, because the emphasis here in this part of Scripture is mainly about money, I am going to take this, and we are going to look at it through the lens of giving our finances to the church. Because I believe that you want to and should give to what matters most. And Jesus is going to tell you why you should do that. He says this. He says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth. And this is all about the stuff that we buy that's kind of incidental, that ends up disposable. And it's all about the stuff that we're like, ooh, I'm investing in Twitter. I'm investing in this new clothing line. Ooh, I'm buying these new sweatpants. Ooh, I'm trying to accumulate stuff because these are the things that matter to me. He says, don't store up a bunch of stuff on earth, whether it ends up disposable or if it's stuff that's right with you for a while or it's stuff that you really, really, really love. He says, don't make that the most important thing in your life because moths, vermin destroy, and thieves break in and steal it. If you invest in something on this earth, no matter how much you love it, it's gonna go away. No matter how much you love your phone, it's gonna get old. No matter how much you love those shoes, there's going to be a new pair. No matter how much all that stuff, and if he's going, if that matters most to you, you're in trouble. I don't think you should store up. I don't think you should value all the stuff that we have on earth. He says this, but store up, give up, give to something bigger than yourself. He says, store up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. He says, you can, just get this, you can invest in something that will matter for eternity, that will matter forever. And you guys are so smart and you make decisions all the time about your money, and you think, you know what, I'm going to make the best of my money. I'm going to put it in the right spot. I'm going to invest in my future. I got the 401k. I got the Roth IRA. I'm going to make sure that it all goes to the right place so that at certain times in my future, everything's going to be taken care of, that my kids can go to college, that I can pay off my car, that I could buy a house and get a down payment, that I can pay for school. You're trying to be smart, right? You're trying to invest. You're trying to make your money last. Do you know when you invest in the things on this earth, and I'm not saying that it's not good to do some of those things, but if what you spend your money on does not include heaven, all the stuff you do spend your money on is going to go away. But the stuff you spend, the money you spend on the things that are of God for eternity will last forever. And you're so smart. And you've got to figure it out. And Jesus says, come on, don't store up all that stuff. It's going to go away. Think about eternity and put your money, at least a part of it, where it's going to impact eternity. And then he just, instead of being tactical, instead of just being strategic in what he's telling you to do with your money, because it's the best investment you could make, he goes and he says, the best investment you could make and the investments that you do make say something about something deep inside of you. And he says this, he says, where your treasure is where your heart is. Now, if I asked you, hey, tell me what you're spending your money on. Tell me what you do with your money. Tell me what you spend money every week at the grocery store. You buy these things. You pay for the mortgage. You pay for rent. You pay for school. You pay for books. You pay for new shoes. You and you tell me all that stuff. And then I look at you and I say, what matters the most to you? Are you going to tell me that a list of items, that stuff is what matters most to you? Because if what you invest in on earth is not something that God's heart is about, then you are investing in something that is like sad to admit your heart pumps for. It's like, really, man, that's what you care about? And this is what Jesus is saying. He's saying, where you spend your money, I can tell by where you put your money, that's what matters most to you. That's what you're concerned with. And Jesus says, you got to give to what matters most, so you need perspective on what matters most. What he's saying here is that your treasure will follow your heart. What matters to you, the money will follow. What matters to you, the money will follow. So if you've not been strategic about this, whether intentionally or not, there's something that matters to you and the money says so. Money talks. So when Jesus says where your treasure is, your heart will be, he's saying, what really matters to you? What really moves you? What really is important to you? Is it a list of stuff? Is it a long-term future only? Here's what the word heart means when he says that. When Jesus says where your treasure is, your heart is, it means this. Your heart equals your concerns and your interests. It equals your concerns and your interests. I want you to just take a second right now, and I want to ask the question, where's your heart? What are you concerned about? What are you interested in? What keeps you awake at night? Is it something that is here one day and gone tomorrow? Is it something that really, really matters? Or is it something that could end up in storage? Is it stuff? I mean, come on. Don't tell me for a minute that the thing that keeps you up at night is your stuff. Is that really what matters to you? Where's your heart? Would your money say that you care about something that matters beyond your lifetime? Would your money say that you care about something that God cares about? Do you know where God's heart is? You see, my goal today is for you to understand what really matters. I mean in the big picture. And then take a portion of your money, which has all come from God. You actually think sometimes that you provided it, that you did some good work and it shows up at the bank account. Nothing that is good comes from any other person but the person of God, Jesus Christ. He has given you everything. Scripture says that whether you sow it or you harvest it, doesn't matter. God provides the increase. So all that money comes from God. And then, do you know what matters to God? And can you say, you know what? I'm going to put some of my money where God says is most important. Or you just kind of go with it. You just kind of do what you love. Here's how you can tell what matters to God. And here's how you can tell what matters to anybody. Because I want us to figure out what matters to God and then invest in what matters to God. Here's the deal. You are emotional about what matters to you, aren't you? Aren't we emotional about what matters to us? I mean, this happens on the most elementary level. If I steal a little car or I take a car out of my son Jet's hands, he does this thing where he gets stuck in reverse and he starts crying. Ah! And we go, watch, Jet. Jet just got stuck in reverse. Ah! And he literally does this thing where because the car matters so much to him, he gets emotional about it, and he gets stuck in reverse until he hits a wall. Then he falls down and lays flat on the ground, and he just screams. Because that's what matters to him. Right? When we get emotional, you lose your job. It matters. Ooh, that matters. If you don't waterproof your boots and then it rains, what a travesty. It matters. Dang it, my boots! I wonder if we'll take these back. It is America, they probably have a surplus. I'll just take them back. We get emotional about what matters to us. What matters to God more than anything? The thing that's sweet about our God is he's not just this like up in the cloud, like sitting with a white robe on and a gold crown of thorns, like sitting up there. He came down to earth. And he showed us what mattered to him. And he showed us what mattered to him the same way we show the world what matters to us, by our emotion. Three displays of passion that show what Jesus cares about. I'm going to remind us of this morning, and I am going to tell us we need to give to what matters to God. We need to give to what matters most. Jesus Christ was emotional a lot, but there's three times in his life that the scriptures tell us where he was very emotional. And through that, we learn what matters most to God. The first story, Jesus has his best friend, one of his closest friends, die, get sick and die. And he takes a long time to get to his town for this kind of funeral, if you could think of it as a funeral. They all want him to come, and he doesn't show up. And then when he shows up, Lazarus has been dead for a while, and they all know that Jesus has power, and they're going, Jesus, Jesus, you could have come earlier, and then you could have maybe stopped him from being sick, and now he's gone, and they're mad at him. And Jesus, in that moment, he sees his friends and families get really upset about the fact that their loved one, their father, their brother, their cousin has died, and he gets emotional, and he tells them that he is the resurrection. And it says in that passage that Jesus wept. And the reason that Jesus wept is because the people were broken at the loss of their friend. And they didn't understand that God not only has the power to raise a physical dead person to life, but that he has the power to spiritually bring every person to life if they place their faith in Christ alone. And in that moment, Jesus weeps. And by his weeping, we see what matters to him. And you know what matters to Jesus? Eternal life. You know what matters to Jesus? Resurrection. You know what matters to Jesus? Souls for eternity. He shows us that by breaking down and going, I'm the resurrection, and I want everyone to know. That matters to Jesus. Does it matter to you? Do you leave church and forget about eternity? Do you stay up at night thinking about souls? Jesus came to this earth with the burden of resurrection. By a show of hands, who has placed their faith in Jesus Christ for the salvation of their souls? This matters to Jesus. Does it matter to you? Jesus goes on. He has this amazing experience where one day he goes to the temple and all the people are in there and they're coming to worship and they're coming to pray because that's what the temple is for. But there's some guys who have learned and found a way to make money off of people coming to worship. And they take the worship of God and they turn it into a profit for themselves. And Jesus gets mad. He gets angry. It says that he builds a whip and he runs around the temple and he runs off the profiteers and he says, get out of here. This is a place of prayer. This is a place of worship. You know what matters to Jesus? Worship. The local church coming together in the name of Jesus and going, just like John the Baptist did, I have got to decrease and you have got to increase. I have got to get my mind off the things of the earth, and I have got to praise or glorify or lift up the name of Jesus because he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Jesus runs everybody out that doesn't care about worship. You know why? Because it matters to him. He was angry. Through his anger, he displays his passion. He displays his conviction about the importance of this, what we're doing right now. Being reminded by the power of the Holy Spirit through the foolishness of preaching, what is really important. That mattered to Jesus. And you know what? It's not just coming together on Sunday morning. He wants all of us to live our lives every single day in such a way that people look at us and go, whoa, God must be good. Jesus said, let your good works shine before men so they see them and glorify God or worship God. Jesus was passionate. Jesus is passionate about worship. He is passionate about every single one of us understanding how wonderful God is and how much we need him and how he's provided and how good he is and how much praise we can give him and how many breaths we can spend on him and how many days we can live for him and how many people we can tell about him, and the kind of life that he has for us is a life of worship. Does worshiping God matter to you? Does it matter? Do you just think about lifting yourself up every day? You just think about like pumping yourself up, patting yourself on the back, finding your name in lights, finding your name at the top, being the winner, being the most successful, making the most money. Who are you worshiping? What are you spending your time on? You know that worshiping Jesus Christ, we're born for this. Jesus shows us it matters. Here's another thing. This is so cool, right? I mean, we get to see by Jesus' emotion, by his passion. He was a person. You know, he got mad about stuff. He got overwhelmed about stuff. When Jesus, before he got arrested, found himself in a garden praying out to God, knowing that he was going to get arrested, taken into custody, and beaten brutally and hung on a cross and would die the most horrific death that's ever happened in the history of mankind, Jesus went to God. He went to God in a garden, and he got on his knees, and he cried, and he sweat, and he pleaded with God that if there would be another way for him and God's plan to all come into fruition, that it would happen. But in that moment, Jesus submitted. He submitted to God's plan. Jesus is passionate about the will of God. You know what that means? That whatever, listen. Whatever steps God wanted Jesus to take, Jesus was passionate about taking those steps. God, your will. That's what he says in the garden. You know the story, Gethsemane? Not my will, but your will. Not my plan, but God's plan. Are you passionate about God's plan? Are you passionate about eternal life? Are you passionate about worship? Are you passionate about God's plan? Give your money to what matters most. Can I tell you that everything inside of me, everything I am, everything I'm about right now, and that doesn't mean I'm better than you, that doesn't mean I'm more spiritual than you, but God has gotten a hold of my life, and these three things keep me up at night. I believe that the local church is the hope of the world. Do you know what that means? That means through the local church, people receive eternal life through Jesus Christ. They worship Jesus Christ on Sundays and all week long. And they spend time in groups, and they spend time in discussion, and they pore over God's word so they can learn God's will. The local church is all about seeing people saved, seeing people worship God, and figure out God's plan for their life. That's the local church. That's what we do. That's what 514 Church does. We spend all of our time thinking about people getting saved, thinking about people worshiping God, and people thinking about how to live the kind of life that God has called them to live. Every week, over 200 adults only meet in groups and talk about God's plan for their life. Because that's what we care about. We want you to know God, we want you to worship God, and we want you to follow God. And Jesus Christ, through his passion, said, here's what matters now. Give to what matters most. Storage. What are you putting your money into? Are you putting your money into something that matters? Here's the deal. I'm going to get like really practical. Like sometimes I get up here and I think, how can I say this the best way? How can I say this the shortest way? How can I say this, you know, the most impactful way? I'm just going to get right to it, because a lot of you are asking this question. Okay. I'm supposed to give what matters. I've heard this talk before. I've come to church before. I know I'm supposed to give. You pass the buckets, blah, 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 and you just want to know how much. Okay, how much am I supposed to give? How much am I supposed to give? The Old Testament teaches that the people of God were supposed to give 1/10 of their total income. It does. It says, here's a grid. You want to give back to God? Give 10%. Now, let me tell you something. If everyone in here gave 10% of their income, we would never have any financial need. We would be able to see more people coming to know Christ, more people worship Christ, and more people follow God's plan for their life. But a lot of us are afraid to actually give 10%. Some of us are in financial duress. Some of us have so much debt that we can't even begin to think about giving to God. And so we're having a hard time even hearing this. Going, how am I going to give to God? I can't even, I'm in the red. And here's the thing. God answers this question directly in 2 Corinthians 9. He tells us exactly how much, and he tells us why. So before we go there, I just want you to hear. There's usually like a couple different schools of thought on giving. There's people that say you should give 10% because that's what the Bible says. And then there's pastors that say you should give 10% because it's what the Bible says. And if you give, God will bless you financially back tenfold. Kind of like, look, it's if you give to the church, you're going to get a bunch of money back. Why wouldn't you do that? And that's an interesting perspective. And I'm not going to teach that today. The Old Testament says that we could test God to give to the tithe. In the New Testament, Paul kind of takes that grid of thinking of giving, and he says it really is about your heart. It really comes down to your heart. And the same God that blessed you for giving in the Old Testament can and is able to bless you in the New Testament and now for giving. So he kind of sums it all up, and he says this. He says, how much should you give? Each of you should give what you have decided. Now, some of you think, oh, good, that lets me off. That's exactly the opposite of what it should make you think. Because this is in the context of what I just taught you, that God has given so much, and that the eternity hangs in the balance, and that we should give as a response to God's love. That means you decide to give. So the question is, have you decided to give? Have you made the decision? Our church is young. Not everybody gets this. Have you made a decision to give to the local church? Do you believe that what matters to God should be invested in? I believe if you give to the local church, you are not only giving to something great, you are giving to something that matters more than anything else you could give to. Eternity. He says, you get to decide how much you want to give. And he says, and not reluctantly. Don't do it under compulsion. Don't do it because you feel like you have to. God loves a cheerful giver. He wants you to give because you want to. Jesus Christ gave to us because he wanted to. So each of us get to decide if we want to invest in what matters most. And then we get to sit back and decide how much we're going to give. And then we get to give it in a cheerful manner. You know this word means, cheerful means hilariously. God wants us to be like the Joker giving money away because he has given us so much. And then this is the part that's really, really cool, because you're making decisions all the time about where to put your money. And a lot of the times we make the decision about where to give our money based upon how much we're going to get back, And here is the thing about God that's different than any other thing you could give to. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. You see, anything that you give to does not have the absolute ability that God does to give back. God is a person. When you give to the local church, you're giving to Jesus. And when he sees his kids invest in what matters most, he loves to bless you. And that doesn't mean that he's going to necessarily give you tenfold back financially, but that means he's going to bless you abundantly. He's going to give you what you need. You are sitting there right now. I know you are. And you're going, but I need that. But I need this. I can't. I need it. So what you're saying when you say that is, I trust my financial program more than God's. You want to get everything you need? You give it to the God who is able to give you everything you need. He's going to bless you.
My wife and I have given 10% of both of our incomes since the day we were married. And we have never, listen, we have never experienced anything less than abundance and our needs being met. Never. And we have college debt and mortgage debt and all the different things that you do too. And God has provided our needs. You know why? Because we decided at one point to figure out what matters to God and get involved with it and give to it. So some of you right now are going, well, what does that mean? How much should I give? You should aim for 10%. You should aim for 10%, but you get to decide. So if you haven't given any, start giving 1%. Start giving 1% this month. Start giving 2% this month. Give 2% for a whole year. And watch God bless you. Watch Him provide every need that you could ever need. And if you give 10%, man, far be it from me to tell you that that's it. We don't need it. You know, you don't need any more to give to God. God has so much work for us to do, the local church. If you give 10%, give 12%. Try to outgive God. I dare you. Come on. Do we want to reach thousands of people in the city of Columbus for the gospel of Christ? I don't believe it. I freaking want to. I'm sorry. I want to. Do you want to? Do you guys want to reach people? Do you want to be a part of the gospel? Do you want to be a part of reaching people for eternal life, for worship, and walking out God's plan? Come on, come on, come on. A little response would be nice. Then you got to give to the local church. You got to start giving. Now, some of you right now, you've heard this. I've done an okay job, and you're going, I'm not interested. I'm just not interested. I just can't wait for this to be done. Are we done? Okay, I'm glad you're here. Hang with me. Hang with me. And I want to challenge you, too. I want to challenge the person that's just right now going, I don't think so. I don't think so, Joel. I'm not sure if what matters to God matters to me. But I believe that if I sat with you one-on-one and we had coffee, that eternal life, worshiping God, and figuring out God's will for your life, I bet you would tell me that you should be interested in that. But something in your heart is like hardened, and you're just going, I just don't know why I don't care. But if I said, do you agree that you should care? You would say, yeah, I should care about that. So here's my challenge to you. I want to challenge you to give to what you should be interested in. Because whether you're a believer, you just met Christ, wherever you are, if we're talking about eternity, we're talking about salvation, we're talking about living out God's plan on earth, you should be interested in that. Come on, you know that, right? You think that, right? I should care about that. And here's what's going to happen. If you start to give every month to something that you should be interested in, I bet you that your heart will follow your treasure. I bet you that if you say, okay, I'm going to invest in this, I'm going to give to this local church, and then what's going to happen is if you start to put what matters to you out there into what matters to God, you are going to start to see some things, and you are going to get emotional. Next week, if you come to church, you are going to hear 4 stories of people who have accepted Jesus Christ, who are in a wave group, and who are coming and worshiping. They're giving back to the community. You're going to go, wow, look at that life change. You know, right now, there's over 100 little kids in the back. You know what they're doing back there? You know what they're doing? Hearing about Jesus. They're worshiping Jesus. And they're figuring out Jesus' plan for their life. When you give to 514 Church, you're investing in families. 514 Church is a place where all of us, every age group, can come together and worship God. Are you willing to give up? Are you willing to take some of that stuff that's sitting in storage, that in future investment that's not going to matter? Are you going to say, you know what? That 10% that I know would end up in storage, or that 10% that I love this year but won't love next year, I'm going to put it somewhere else. I'm going to put it in heaven. I'm going to invest in what matters to to God. That's my challenge. At the beginning of the year at this church, we're going to do a business meeting, and that sounds really unfun, but we're going to come together on a Sunday morning. We're going to talk about vision. It's not going to be a finance talk. It's going to be about a vision talk. We're going to talk about what God is doing and where we're headed. But right now, you have to start moving towards putting your money in what matters most so we can fulfill the Great Commission through 514 Church. So here's what we're going to do. Now we're going to pass the buckets. And I want everyone, I appreciate the claps. Those were genuine claps. The other ones I had to get out of you. And I just want you to sit. Jeff's going to come out here, he's going to play guitar. And we're just going to sit. And it's going to sit for 3 minutes, 4 minutes while the buckets pass. And I just want you to ask God to move in your heart. And this is not something where we want you to give just today. We need, the local church needs, so we can continue to invest in what matters to God, you to give every month and to work towards 10%, because that is what matters to God, is the life change that comes through that 10%. So you get to because you want to, not because you have to, and you get a chance to be a part of something that is going to last forever. So think about that while we pass the buckets. I'm going to pray. Father, we lose sight of what matters because it's not in our sight. It's hard for us to think about eternity. It's hard for us to consider that you're moving, that you're changing people's lives. Some of us think the church is just all about the lead pastor getting a mansion or the lead pastor getting a Rolls Royce, and we go, "Ah, a new suit. God, I'm not going to buy any new suits. I promise. I'm going to lead this congregation to fall in love with you and fall in love with each other. Give to what matters most. That's my job, God, and it's their job. It's your job, God. I'm asking that you would bless this church, that you would remind them of the abundance, that you would overwhelm them with the burden to give to what matters most so that we can continue to be a part of your grand scheme to glorify yourself. Thank you for letting us be a part of it. Thank you for moving in this church. Thank you for the hundreds and hundreds of families we're going to feed. Thank you, thank you, thank you for the thousands of souls that are going to be reached through 514 Church. We love you. We worship you.